WHFR Dearborn. This has been the World of Big Band. My name is Bill. We're closing in on the 1 o'clock hour, and Mr. Jade comes in with his WHFR journal. It's my turn to say goodbye. My name is Bill. I'm here every Friday, 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock, with some of the greatest big band music of all time. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you come back next week. Hope to see you at the Concert of Colors. We're going to be down there at 5:30 this afternoon, broadcasting live. As soon as Jay comes and gets started, we're going to load up the remote equipment and head that way. Once again, thank you for listening. My name is Bill. This is WHFR Radio 89.3 on your FM dial, 313-845-9676. Give us a call, and thank you again.
Show has been pre-recorded on July the 18th, just 1 hour before its normal airtime. This is WHFR Dearborn. Miss you here at WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I just couldn't resist, since today is the opening day of the movie version of the Broadway play Mamma Mia with ABBA songs in it, to play that. And my other excuse is because we don't normally do pop music, although we often do show tunes during the big band show from 11 to 1 every Friday, and sometimes the soundtracks too there, if it's based on a Broadway show. It's my mother's birthday today, even though she is no longer in this world. Maybe she's in ABBA world somewhere, and the ABBA world, the other world, the ABBA world, and can enjoy that. So happy birthday, Mom, if you were here. I'm thinking about you anyway. But this is actually our public affairs show. Yes, it is. Pre-recorded today because we're on our way down to set up our live broadcast facility at Concert of Colors at the Maxim Fisher Music Center, Orchestra Hall formerly, on Woodward Avenue, just north of Mac. And we're going to be down there for 3 days, broadcasting from the late afternoon, early evening, the actual music from one of the stages. And our promotion table will be down there from approximately 2 to 8 on all 3 days, too. Hope to see you down there. Okay, so I know you want the official opening theme, and so here it is. So an official welcome to the new WHFR Journal for Friday, July the 18th, 2008. This is Jay Koronick with you today, and my co-host Susan Morell, our WHFR news director, is in the studio too. Good afternoon, Susan.
Good afternoon, Jay. So nice to be here with you in person. We're recording today, so it's not our normal studio. We're not live, but it'll be just as good as live.
Yeah, right? As soon as I turned your mic up there, you sound a lot better. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Uh-huh. Very kind of you.
Okay. Although you still sound like you're in a barrel, but that's okay. We don't really put her in a barrel,
except
metaphorically speaking, as news director.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we want to start right in with the local news and views, and the story in the Sunday Times, that is the Dearborn Times Herald paper, where they cover a wide area of stories downriver, west Detroit, west of Dearborn, north of Dearborn, and so on. Looks like a story about Walmart. Now, we already have a Walmart here, as you may know, Susan, in Dearborn, or maybe it's technically Detroit. It's at the what formerly was known as the Kmart Power Center, north of Ford Road, and just east of Southfield Expressway. But so we already have a Walmart that's pretty close to Dearborn, serving Dearborn, if you will, and the surrounding area. But we have some local activists fighting Walmart nearby.
Well, there is a story in the Sunday Times, and this is from, let's see, this is from the, is this the Press and Guy, Jay?
No, that's the Sunday Times. It's the Times Herald.
Oh, the Times Herald, whoops. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this past Sunday. And this is activists are seeking to block the mega chain Walmart's move to the area. Well, we fixed the microphone. Very good. Thank you, Jay. One local group is watching closely to see whether Walmart tries to make its way into the Sears Lincoln Park shopping center. So they're not really wanted, and no downriver Walmart, which formed in November, that's the name of the group, I guess, plans to try to block such a move by the retail giant, and members believe city officials are withholding information. Oh, that's interesting. Why would city officials be withholding information? Perhaps Jay could address that question. The group's 10 members come from Allen Park, Melvindale, Lincoln Park, and Southgate. Jay, would you like to comment on that?
A business moving in the area, they have to have the appropriate permits, but if it is private property and the city doesn't own the property, the city doesn't really have much to say. They can't really get involved unless there's been some laws broken, rules broken, some contracts are not fully signed, or there's some health code violations or something later on. So the city, of course, would love to have the business.
But what about their charge that they're withholding information? The city is withholding information.
Well, we'll have to ask the city about that.
I mean, is that a fair charge? Do you think that's a fair statement?
If no one has been talking to them when they've been asking questions, yeah, it's a fair statement from their point of view. I can't say whether there's a specific reason for it. I would think that if not in denial, the city is just in a no-comment situation because it's really they don't have anything to say if it is private property, and all of the other legal things are in place. Plus, as I said, the city and therefore the taxpayers will profit if it's a successful business. It will bring in a lot of tax dollars to the city, and so that's another reason they might be. They don't want to be drawn into the conflict, if you will.
I think. Here's what Allen Park Mayor Gary Berkta says, and I met him several years ago over here in Dearborn at the Senior Expo. He's a city council member, and he says that he's unaware of a Walmart going into the shopping center at Dixon Southfield Road. Mm. And this group is convinced that the Walmart store will arrive soon. They must be hearing some kind of rumors. And they are stating that it will kill local businesses. So I wonder where they are getting their information, this group.
Right.
They must have some inside track in order to be making all these statements. Don't you think?
Yep. Yeah, if it didn't say there, we'll just follow that. It's just interesting to see the that there's always these protests, and I've seen the devastation that Walmart moving into small rural communities that have, let's say, just one main street, 10, 15, 20 stores, all local businesses, and Walmart, of course, can underprice them, more variety, more so people don't even come down that main street. They just drive out a little bit to the Walmart. And so it totally kills all local business when there isn't a lot of local business already. Now, I think the dynamic is very different in an urban setting where you do have other choices for doing your shopping at low prices. Like in Dearborn here, we have a Target store and of course, Best Buy for electronics and so on. And so I'm not sure that it has that destructive local nature that maybe they're worried about. There's other complaints that have been brought up against Walmart in the past, and most of the products they sell are from China, but isn't most everything we buy anyway from any source from China these
days?
Yes,
but Walmart is the originator, and they're the ones who started all these imports. And not only that, they're into cheap labor, and they don't treat their employees very well, and they don't treat their female employees very well.
The conception or the notion that has spread around because of several lawsuits. I need to mention, for just fairness, you know, the opinions expressed on the show, folks, are not necessarily those of mine or Susan Morell's alone or anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College. In fact, there's no one that agrees with us, including ourselves sometimes, but we do try to be fair. But don't blame the college here, Henry Ford Community College, for saying that, you know, that we're stating their position. Not at all.
But my own personal protest is that I do not shop at Walmart mm-hmm. under any circumstances, under any conditions. I refuse to do it for the reasons that I've stated, and that's
good.
My personal protest.
Right. I just wanted to say that to my knowledge, Walmart has done a very admirable job of settling out of court, I think, almost all of those major complaints about you know, not giving women an equal opportunity for higher management, and you know,
employee health care, paying employees for overtime, you know, forcing them to work overtime with no pay.
There's still problems like that with many businesses in the United States, but Walmart has done a pretty good job of trying to take care of most of those complaints. And they have not been found officially guilty in any court of law, although they settled some of these out of court and tried to, you know, pay people off.
Oh, is that true?
Well, pretty much. I mean, there could be small suits in some, you know, individual Walmarts that I'm not aware of. But most, to my knowledge, which is always subject to being wrong, they've taken care of most of the class action national lawsuits at this point. So it is fine. I mean, if you don't want a certain business or industry in your community, let people know, let the press know, let other people think about what they can do. If it is private property, there's nothing the city can do unless they're going to be engaging in something that's illegal. And the city, of course, behind the scenes, for the good of all the taxpayers in Lincoln Park, they want more business that is going to be successful and bring in more tax dollars.
Well, the mayors of Allen Park and Lincoln Park are claiming in this article that they have no knowledge of the Walmart's arrival in those locations.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Okay. So. Right. I wanted to jump just because we like to do transitions here. We don't like to move your thoughts around too much. We're in the local business angle. I want to jump to the Dearborn Press and Guide from this Wednesday. And look at the column of Michael Albano. Albano. I have talked about for the last couple of editorials that he's done. He had been in Dearborn, was originally raised in Dearborn, but then he spent 24 years working and living in California. And he returned, and I understand, I saw somewhere else, he returned 6 or 7 months ago to Dearborn, and he's been making comments about what he's seen, the changes, and so on. And this is his column for this week, which it says, like many of you, I realize Dearborn has some issues that need addressing. Some things we can change, others we cannot. 2 weeks ago, he had a column that indicated a very good summary of the same problems that we've been pointing out on this show for the last year about what sort of new businesses Dearborn East and West need, and what things could really help out. Not that we have any answers, but, you know, and so he summed those up. Thank you. Maybe he was taking notes from the new WHFR Journal. But Michael, if you're listening, I do give you great credit. And so he's doing a little bit of balance here. He says we should give city leaders some credit for always managing to keep running the city here in Dearborn with such a decreased tax base. It says a little further down, I wasn't aware of this, many do not take in consideration that Ford now pays only 25% of the taxes they used to pay.
Is he just a basic citizen?
Yeah.
He's just a citizen.
A real person.
He's a real person. He has a right to speak.
As if politicians aren't real. But yeah, no, he's just an average person as far as we know.
And does he know that for a fact?
Yeah.
Is that factual?
Well, he's stating it as a fact. It's his opinion as far as we can tell, but it's probably true. But part of it, you know, is that the city of Dearborn has given some significant tax rebates to Ford, too, in the last several years, whenever they've done renovations of I don't know, Rouge or whatever. So they're not paying what might be called their fair share, although most large businesses around the country do get local communities out of the pressure of, you know, either we're not going to locate there or we're going to move, which is what Ford actually did. They rattled those sabers about 5-6 years ago saying, well, if we don't get this, we can always move our world headquarters. You believe that? Moving out of Dearborn? But that's what they said. They actually said, well, if we don't get it, we can always move.
I'm just so not in favor of that position. It's just an unfair. If you want to talk about the fair tax this hour, and I think you mentioned that.
Yes, we're going to finish up with that.
That's just an unethical and unfair philosophy.
Well, my guess here is that Ford has sold off a lot of their land, has closed a lot of their facilities in Dearborn. That's one reason they're paying less than they used to. I'm just trying to guess why it is so much less, other than the city special grants or allowing their property to be devalued lower than what it really needs to be. But let me just finish Michael Albano's column here. That is a point that I brought up, and so does Frank Bewick at the Press and Guy at the Times Herald. Excuse me, Frank. He says another thing we can do, even though Michael's opinion column is in the Press and Guide. He said, another thing that we can do is crucial to our city's survival is to patronize our Dearborn's businesses. Dearborn is Ford, and Ford is Dearborn, so we should all be driving some type of Ford product, and do not try telling me Japan makes superior automobiles, because Ford has more top-quality rated vehicles than any Japanese company or any other company for that matter.
I disagree.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Michael. I'm a car person. I've researched cars in and out for years and years. I do think for the good of capitalism, you've heard about that, that we have to go with the best products. But certainly most of what's made in Japan, certainly cars, and or China, they don't have any cars right now, not a good choice because the money flows out of the country. However, there are many cars that have equally high quality, and get this, Michael, are actually safer. Safer because they accelerate better, and they have better gas economy, and they also stop better, and they handle better. If you had to swerve left or right, you know, it's rare that you see anything other than like a sports car magazine include in their road test, how well does this car handle if you had to make and what's sometimes called an avoidance maneuver, you know, going to the left or the right really fast at high speeds. Well, a car that has really good suspension and tires that's designed for that kind of performance is, that's not most American cars, first of all. And I have to say that, because I mentioned it before, I drive a BMW. It is just over $30,000. I've been in those near-accident situations with them, and I've been in American cars since I've driven cars for 40 years of my life. Nothing handles to me as well as a BMW sedan. I get 28 miles to a gallon on the highway, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if you could just cruise steadily at 58 miles an hour, my mile per gallon odometer says I would get 43 miles to a gallon. The BMW makes the most fuel-efficient six-cylinder engines in the world.
And okay. I totally trust Consumer Reports. And when I bought my Toyota Corolla, that car was rated the number one car in terms of quality and durability.
Also, and the price of it.
And price.
It's
half the
price of my BMW.
And, so. You know, lack of maintenance issues.
Huh? Yeah.
Those are important considerations.
Yeah. If the American manufacturers want our business, and I've said this before there was an auto crisis and Ford didn't listen, if they want our business, they'd make better cars.
Thank you.
Okay. And they could have done this years ago. GM could have had their electric car on the road 10 years ago.
And they destroyed all those electric cars. Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
And now they say, "Oh, we can't make an electric car until 2010."
Where's the file on the electric car? They destroyed that too.
Well, I mean, they already built them. Don't they know how to build another one? Okay, there were limitations with the battery. You know, the range was only 100 miles or so, but people will buy that. We did the story just 2 weeks here where I interviewed Tom Waldemeyer, a philosophy teacher here at the college. He's riding a car, an electric car, in every day from Royal Oak to Dearborn. It only goes a top of 30 miles an hour. He's having a ball, and he has to charge up when he gets here because it only goes 30 miles on a charge. But he's having a ball, and he's saving all kinds of dollars. Maybe he's safer going just at 30 miles an hour than 60 or 70 on the expressway too. And so America is ready, and they were ready 10 years ago with GM's electric car to have a car that had more limited range. I mean, many people have two cars anyway, so one car would be your commute car, the electric car, and the other one is just like on weekends or when you had to, you know, take a longer trip. And yet we would have been saving a fortune. That's right. Doesn't GM have the blueprints from their electric car? Couldn't they get that going? You know, they had a factory, and they only built 1,000, I guess. And then I guess, but it looked like they destroyed the molds, the frames.
Their mindset. It's just their whole mindset. Please, you know, I'm just not going to buy another car until I get to find a good electric car for a good price.
Well,
I mean, that's my bottom line.
Yeah, things are not totally as simple as anything that we're saying here, folks. But we must find a way to be less dependent on oil. There's a finite quantity. It's going to run out. We've got to make other choices. And now, of course, we know because it's so expensive per gallon. It's bad. The BMW, by the way, in Germany, the average price of a gallon of gas in Germany is $8.75.
And it's going up daily here in the States. Every day you go to the pump, the price goes up.
So I would say look at the kinds of cars the Europeans have been driving and have bought and that even our manufacturers make and distribute over there. Ford of England has got some great cars. They never bring them back to the U.S. The great gas mileage, great handling, much better handling than the cars they have over here. Our manufacturers will get their act together eventually. Why it takes so long, it boggles my mind.
And not only that, the leadership, the political leadership on this issue, environmental issues, is very far behind. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should have mass transit crossing the country. I mean, what is the holdup here? I don't get it.
Yeah, I do agree with Michael Albano, to finish Michael's column, totally. Buy local whenever you can. If the product is as good or equally good or even cost a little bit more, it's up to you all individually to decide if a little bit more, how much a little bit more is. But buy local. Buy from people and companies that are only here in Dearborn or nearby Dearborn because that's the best for the economy. Okay, it really is the best because that money does not go to a corporate headquarters in Hong Kong or London, England, or France or something, it'll stay, and all the profits of that company, therefore, will be spent locally and probably reinvested locally, too. You know, right. A lot of franchise companies, they have one, like a, well, I'm just picking a McDonald's. If one franchise is doing a great deal of business, the profit goes up the ladder to McDonald's headquarters, and then they build a McDonald's in Thailand, okay, or something with the profit. But if a shop like the new bicycle shop on Monroe that we interviewed a gentleman from last week, Andy at Adventure Bikes, is only in Dearborn, if they make a profit, the odds are, if they want their business to continue to be good, they're going to reinvest in that business right here in Dearborn.
And yeah, but so, not only that, if you shop locally, that saves you money on gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So that's the key. Save
that's,
money.
That's true, too. Yeah, unless you can order by telephone.
Well, that's even better. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, Michael, you're absolutely right about that. I often visit, and I've mentioned before, Austin, Texas, which is a city I love visiting. I don't know if I want to live there, especially in the summer when it's 105 to 110. But the rest of the year, boy, yeah, it's a nice place. They have a phrase, keep Austin weird.
Really?
Yeah. And what that means is that you are to support local merchants. Because they are, you know, more unique than the homogenized products that you get from the mass chains.
But why the word weird? Oh, is there something wrong with my mic? It's not connecting.
It seems, yeah, it seems it's, like that's...
It's losing the connection. Yeah, but why the word weird, Jay?
Just so people will remember it, I think. Weird does mean that it's a little out of the ordinary, like they're making waves, like our station here, that they have unique products that are different than the mainstream products. So if you only get three colors, and they're all shades of gray or something at a mass market store, the local store is bound to have something in bright green, bright red, bright purple, psychedelic or something, you know, that there will be probably more variety and therefore more individuality in a local store. So,
okay. Yes. Sounds good to me.
Okay. So, Michael, but thank you for your columns. Keep writing them. You have great insight into Dearborn, especially you know and love Dearborn, as we all try to, and you haven't been here for a while, so you're kind of your insights are very fresh because you just got back about 6 or 7 months ago. Okay, other big stories coming up here, and we're almost we're 25 minutes into the hour. The pre-recorded show, it will be played. It is being recorded on Friday, July 18th, just 1 hour ahead of when it's going to be broadcast. So if you're listening on Friday, July 18th, it's what do they say? Hot out of the fryer or something.
And that's where we are. It's 90 degrees in Michigan today. If you happen to be listening online at WHFRFM.FM, anywhere in the world.
That's right. Okay.
Right.
So I want to move to the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday. And the headline story there, and we heard about this from, by the way, Mayor O'Reilly, you know, when he was here during our pledge week for an interview back in March or April this year, he said he doesn't shop in Walmart. So he's not interested in some of these issues or whatever. But he didn't say why he doesn't shop at Walmart. But he said, well,
yay, Mayor O'Reilly.
He does say, I wouldn't shop at Walmart. I don't shop at Walmart. I mean, it wasn't even here yet. And he said, I don't shop at Walmart. Okay, so for whatever reason, you can't say he's boycotting them. He just doesn't shop there or wouldn't. We don't know. But
well, perhaps he has the same reasons that I do.
He also mentioned, which was news to me and maybe others, the story that's here in the Sunday Press and Guide. So now it's kind of official. Ann Arbor-Detroit Rail Project is on track for 2010. Is that a pun? The rail project is on track. I mean, did the Press and Guide know they were making that joke, that pun?
Sure they did.
I hope so.
Of course. Yeah. But 2010, why so far away, Jay? I mean, we need it now. That's my... I'm very impatient. I wish that I was living in the future when all these environmental problems and transportation problems were solved, because I am very impatient with all these issues, and mm-hmm. it's moving too slow.
Okay, well, here's the answer. Read or listen, as is appropriate, and you will find out. It is on track for completion in October 2010. This is according to Carmine Palumbo, who is Director of Transportation Programs for the Southeastern Michigan Council of Governments, also known as SEMCOG. Okay, S-E-M-G-S-C-O-G. Palumbo said that SEMCOG is awaiting estimates from the North Fork Southern Rail Company and the Canadian National Railway as to what the cost would be to make necessary improvements along the proposed route, which Palumbo said would allow for alternative routes and additional trains. As soon as we get that information, we should be set to go. Everything's going fairly smoothly. As I just found out this morning, the Detroit... tunnel sale to Windsor fell apart. It did. City council totally voted it down. Too many questions, too many. And Windsor was not happy about all the questions either, apparently.
But and I heard they had some fireworks at City
very
Council.
Very stormy. They actually had the audio portion on Detroit Today this morning, along like about 5 or 6 minutes of the bantering back and forth between whoever. He's like an under mayor or assistant mayor or somebody.
Secretary.
No, but he's like number deputy mayor or somebody
Something like that.
Was sent by Kwame, and so Kwame didn't have to yell and scream, I guess. But his surrogate yelled and screamed at the council, and they had to keep him quiet, and then they voted against the whole thing. There is some question whether or not, because the council already approved of it, they can take it back.
Well, they're free to change their minds.
Not according to the city charter, apparently.
But there's more questions. They revealed additional information, and they have a right to change, in my view.
Right. Here's the details of what they're talking about, too, folks, just in case you want to wait for 2010. SEMCOG's looked into the feasibility of a commuter rail. That is one that, stops at a lot of stops frequently. So instead of using your car, if you can just get to a train line or from the train line to your business.
Where's my ticket?
It's going to be better. Between the two major cities, are Ann Arbor and Detroit, and the concept would be to rely on existing infrastructure, that is the rail tracks, as much as possible, as a system was developed to shuttle people between Detroit, Ann Arbor, and Metro Airport. Palumbo said the question of where the stop that will service Detroit Metro Airport will sit hasn't been solved, and so far stations are already planned for Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Detroit Metro Airport stop, which hasn't been solved yet, and a stop at the Henry Ford, Greenfield Village, of course, for those that don't remember that they changed their name several years ago. I guess it was official just 1 year ago, and I still...
Greenfield Village is now called the Henry Ford?
Well, the whole complex of things, including the Rouge Tour. So Henry Ford Museum, Greenfield Village, the Rouge Tour, and whatever else they got going over there at the Edison Institute, it's all called the... and the Max, their big movie theater, it's called the Henry Ford.
I wasn't aware of that.
The whole complex is called the Henry Ford, which is the stupidest thing in the world, but it does get people to say, what is that? And then they have to explain, as I just did. So
thank you, Jay.
Yeah, okay. But, it must have been tough trying to come up with one name for all of it. But anyway, they're also going to put one, bravo, at the New Center area in downtown Detroit. So, because I don't think they have a stay. I guess the train doesn't just stop in Dearborn. It does go on to Detroit.
But, well, absolutely, it should do that.
Well, they're going to put one at the New Center area also in Detroit. Amtrak is at the heart of the issue, as if the mass transit project comes to fruition, the city would like to move its train station from its current post near the Dearborn Police Department further west near the Henry Ford on Elm Street. Oh, see, that's Henry Ford pushing there.
There you go.
They want to move our current train station to the Elm Street situation, which would be easier, I guess, to build a double. I mean, I can imagine you get off at that station, and you could more easily get directly into Henry Ford, Greenfield Village, or Dearborn.
And that gives them more business.
Yeah, at West Dearborn, yeah. Mm-hmm.
More customers.
Yeah, and that's according to Dearborn Director of Economic and Community Development, Barry Murray. The new station, which would be called an intermodal station, several modes, all right, fine, would also serve as a transportation hub and feature a bus station, taxi, and limousine service, which, taxis pull up to the present, train station in Dearborn, but it's not anything like an intermodal hub. He says, if we're able to move the station, people can just get right off and go to the Henry Ford or go straight to the Michigan Avenue businesses. They will all go along with city officials' vision of having a 21st century rail station, along with plans for the redevelopment of the city. So that would be definitely good for the city. And maybe they can give the old station to the Dearborn Animal Shelter or something. You know, the lot.
You think they'd really want that?
I don't know. They said it's better, it'd be cheaper for them to remodel a building that's already there. And certainly the train station is not big enough, but I'm just saying it does have a foundation and a base, and they'd have to add space to it. But that might be an interesting possibility. What do I know? It's maybe not possible at all. But anyway, they have some leads on long-term funding, according to Palumbo. And she says, we have some federal money set aside. We may have to talk to each community involved and the county. And, of course, MDOT, also known as the Michigan Department of Transportation. And she says everything's going well. So that'll be cool. And even now, folks, it is possible to jump on the train at the right times in Dearborn and go to Ann Arbor for the day and then come back later. And the Ann Arbor train station that is there right now is not that far away from town. If you'd like to walk, it's about 2 or 3 blocks, if you know what a block is, maybe 5, if not 10 minutes walk from the north part of Main Street and downtown Ann Arbor, where most people shop. But on a fine day, or with an umbrella or something, it's a nice little ride. I don't know how much it is, but it's these days it's probably cheaper than putting the gas in your car to go to Ann Arbor. I think it's $10 to $15, maybe round trip to Ann Arbor. So check at the Amtrak station if you're interested in that. That's still a great thing to do. And I still recommend going to Chicago by the train, too. Nice, relaxing 6-hour ride. Leaves about 9 in the morning, gets in at 3 in the afternoon. You get to sit there, and whether you're looking at the scenery or reading a book or listening to your iPod if you have to, you're right in downtown Chicago at their Union train station, and it's... You know, usually a taxi would be required maybe to get you to certain hotels on the Miracle Mile. But again, you're right downtown, so it's a really great thing to do, riding the train and supporting alternative transportation, even if right now it might be a sort of a break even in cost.
Well, I'm sure the train would be cheaper going to Chicago than driving, wouldn't it, at this point?
The question with the plane is, are you going to get somebody to drop you off at the airport? Do you have to park your car at the airport? That's a cost. And when you get to the airport in Chicago, even though it's only a 30-minute trip, you got to get to the airport 2 hours early. You got to, get from the Chicago airport. What is their big airport called?
International. And it's huge. It's humongous.
Yeah, they got a name for it, too.
O'Hare.
O'Hare, yes, right. That's where they saw the flying saucers a year ago, last January.
I'm into flying saucers myself.
Yeah, okay. By the way, I did see Larry King last Friday. He's making Friday night, his 9 p.m. Friday night show, Flying Saucer Fridays.
Is he really?
So that means one out of five. Well, he's on Saturday Night Live also. I think Sunday is a repeat. But one out of five of his weekly shows is about flying saucers in the latest reports, folks.
I mean, there's just so much information out there, and Jay and I saw a fabulous show on Larry King, and I'm definitely convinced the evidence is there.
Well, there's something. There's evidence, there's something, and somebody ought to continue looking into that. Okay, moving along, you can take a look at this. I thought it was significant. I'm just going to mention it briefly, since we only have about 25 minutes left in the show. Morris Goodman has an editorial opinion in the Dearborn Press and Guide from Sunday, and I'm not going to read it. But the reason why it's significant, he's suggesting that Detroiters should start an official mayoral recall petition.
I thought that was already started. Didn't we say that?
Not very official. I mean, we know City Council.
There was a petition.
Has already voted its intention or requesting.
No, there was a petition. It was in the paper. Well, but that was many moons ago. I don't know what happened to it.
If it has started, he's not only suggesting starting it, but finishing it, too.
Yeah.
And why is Morris Goodman, who is he? He is the head of the Democratic Party in Dearborn.
Oh.
Okay. So he's speaking for, and of course, Mayor Kwame is a Democrat. You knew that,
not
right?
Very popular at the moment,
well,
though.
Well, but that's it. So here we have a significant, although it's not like, our mayor, but our mayor is not partisan. So, whether he's Republican or Democrat is not the issue in terms of his election in Dearborn. But Kwame runs on a partisan ticket, and he happens to be represented by the Democratic Party. And here is just maybe the first sign, or the first local sign, anyway, of someone who's not elected himself, But he is speaking for the Democratic Party of Dearborn, and he is saying that it would be good for the city, for business. In fact, even I heard that Windsor was not so sure about this whole plan with, you know, buying the whole Detroit tunnel, because they didn't know if they could trust the mayor.
Well,
basically,
and in fact,
you know,
they probably can't. I mean, no, but everybody wants him to go. I mean,
still a lot of questions and a lot of,
unanimous at this point.
Some of it's innuendo, maybe some of it's not fair.
Yeah, but Kim Worthy keeps coming up with more and more charges. So
in the News Free Press,
she's coming up with more charges in her legal battle against the mayor to get him to.
Oh, Kim Worthy is with
Wayne County. She's the prosecutor
in Wayne County.
Yeah,
yes.
she's excellent.
Right,
and every day more charges. I mean, come on.
If people are interested in the argument here, and I think Frank Bewick and maybe other people in Dearborn have already said that Kwame should step down until things are resolved, just so that the city can move on with its business, that he is an impediment here to good business. Whether will be ultimately found guilty of anything, sure seems like he will, but if we're not pre-deciding here. We can't say until, he has
his day. Speak for yourself, Jane.
He has his full day in court. Well, I think it's the fair thing with our government that we not try people in the media. We can talk about what they're charged of, but it's definitely true that whether he's guilty or innocent, he should step aside at this point because he's holding back a lot of business. And boy, that sale of the tunnel to Windsor would have saved Detroit's budget, which is already in the red, as they say. And if that doesn't go through, I don't think they have another suggestion from the mayor's office about what to do.
I have to say, Jay is a very objective person. He tries to give the objective viewpoint, but it's very, very hard to be objective about all of these situations, in my view. So.
Yeah. Well, here's another one from the Times-Herald this last Wednesday, July 16th, right on page one.
Okay, we've got another story.
Yeah, this is Judge William Hulgren in Dearborn. He was formerly the city attorney for the city of Dearborn. And Mayor Guido, I've lived in Dearborn a long time, and Hulgren was the city attorney when the city lost a bunch of very, very expensive lawsuits. Things that the police did wrong, the city did wrong. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, and was never successful in defending it. Now, maybe the city was guilty, but the city attorney is supposed to try to do something to minimize that or protect us from that. And my own personal feeling is that Mayor Guido sort of got him into this position, had him run and supported him for the judgeship to get him out of the city attorney's office. And I have no evidence about that. It's just mere speculation. But he has been, has had charges brought against him, although so does Judge Summers right now, has some charges against him. Although it's interesting that Judge Summers' charges are coming from a couple of women, but one of the women is Judge Hulgren's unmarried girlfriend, live-in girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, who was working in Summers' office and then was dispatched. And she says it was because I wasn't married. But it's Hulgren's girlfriend. Okay, well, anyway, let's not go into that innuendo stuff here. Officially, the story says that a Michigan commission, a state commission, has called for Hulgren's censor and suspension in regard to a case that he adjudicated a while back, that he went beyond his guidelines as a judge and did some unfair things, and they're not going to take him out of office, but they want to suspend him for a period. And censoring him means that I don't think he can hear any cases because he can't talk. Censoring,
well, how does the girlfriend fit in here? I don't get it.
I'm just saying is that more than one judge in Dearborn has had their problems with ethics and legalities.
Oh.
And currently, even Judge Summers has a couple of cases that need to be adjudicated.
And this is
charges that Summers has unfairly treated employees, either dismissed them or demoted them or whatever, who are working in his district court offices.
Oh.
Okay, that they were sort of like employees of his. For the district court, and one of them was Hulgren's live-in girlfriend, to my understanding. And if I have that wrong, I apologize to Jolton. But to be fair to Hulgren here, he said, gee, I was on vacation, I got the word here, and that was really surprising. I didn't think they'd do that. And he says they're going to appeal. And the article says he's clearly going to appeal, and until the appeal process is finished, of course, he won't be censored, he won't be suspended, and they could, you know, whatever level the appeal goes to, whatever other court or the commission, maybe the same commission hears it again, I don't know, but until that's finished, he has not been found guilty of these charges yet, but no doubt the commission found him guilty, guilty, guilty at this first hearing.
Yeah, but this is a very complicated case.
Yes, it is.
It's very tricky.
Right, yeah. but we should be why should we be concerned? There are judges, folks. They're supposed to come to fair rulings about how to apply the laws on people who are found guilty. Okay? And we want a judge who is fair-minded, ethical, not corrupt, hasn't taken bribes, hasn't done anything inappropriate in his or her behavior, of course, to be the one that we would face if we were found guilty of some, well, of course, only a minor infringement, but whatever we did, if we were found guilty of it, we'd want a fair-minded judge to make the decision about certainly our punishment.
Right, and sometimes these cases, as I say, are very complex, and if you make a mistake, you know, that can affect someone's guilt or innocence. It's a big deal when you get to the bottom line.
Yep.
And it happens all the time. People are sent to prison. They're innocent. It's the wrong person. And yeah, all kinds of things happen.
I don't think anyone is, doesn't have some questionable behavior at times and things they might even have to apologize for that really are not a big deal. But they are still questions of ethics. And sometimes they do it to step aside or apologize or make things up. But
yes, when you're a public figure, you come under much more scrutiny, and there are standards mm-hmm. in the legal profession that they expect attorneys to meet and judges to meet. And this goes on in the context of cases.
No. Yep. Well, let's just do a little break here. Just in our last, we have 15 minutes to go for the new WHFR Journal for today, Friday, July 18th. The show is being pre-recorded just 1 hour before airtime, by the way, folks. So hot off the press, if not hot out of the oven. Okay.
Jay, whose forum show is on tomorrow?
Gee, I don't know, Susie. I know, but why don't you tell us?
I don't know. Who is it?
Yours. No,
it's
yours,
not mine.
Yours was
it's
on
the,
last
is this
week.
The third week? Or
this
the...
is Mike Holloway and his Metaphysically Speaking program. I don't know his topic, but from 10 to 11 tomorrow, folks, Mike Holloway will be doing, as he's done for the last couple of months, a live show. Usually has a great special guest that talks about, horoscopes, astrology, Reiki, which is some sort of hands-on or hands-off massage therapy sort of things, and other interesting topics that maybe go a little bit beyond normal scientific procedure, but fascinating stuff, and Mike does a great job at those. So tune in tomorrow for another edition of the WHFR Forum, and third Saturday, it must be Metaphysically Speaking.
Metaphysically Speaking.
Now, speaking of Saturdays, a week from tomorrow, although this weekend we'll be at Concert of Colors, hope you get down to the Max M. Fisher Music Center. That's Orchestra Hall, and it's massive building, the Max M. Fisher Center that it's part of. We're going to be broadcasting live, but also we'll be in person down there at our promotion table in the main lobby of the Max M. Fisher Center. Hope to see you down there. Free concerts all over the place. Three stages, no waiting. One outside, two inside, and it's just a fantastic, great series of all kinds of artists, many of whom maybe you've never heard of before, many from other countries. But they're great. They're fantastic. I've been down there 4 years now. We've been down there 4 years with Concert of Colors and broadcasting live for the last couple of years. And really enjoy ourselves. Everybody that goes down there, they really enjoy it. Bring the whole family. It's a family type thing. And but the record show, yes, the first WHFR record show ever is going to be a week from tomorrow. Tell us about it, Susan.
Yes, WHFR 89.3 FM proudly presents our first ever WHFR Record Show, Saturday, July 26th. We will be featuring thousands of records, CDs, videos, and other music memorabilia for sale by independent, local, and out-of-state vendors. That sounds very exciting. Handmade record cover notebooks. How about that? Door prizes, giveaways, and tons more. It will be located at Henry Ford Community College, 5101 Evergreen Road in Dearborn, Michigan. That, again, is Saturday, July 26th. Starting at 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., generally admission is from $1 to $5. That's a sliding scale. Go to the website for additional information and directions, whfr.fm.
There you go. So I'm going to be there. It's going to be fun. And what is a sliding scale, folks? Well, you get on this platform, and depending on how you slide off, that figures out how much you pay. Now, you won't hurt yourself. Don't worry. No, of course.
It's a ride.
Not.
It's a ride.
It's a little carnival ride we brought in. And no, it is. And it's whatever you want to pay, folks. It's true. If you want to get there early, I think you mentioned from 9 a.m. Oh, that's so early in the morning.
That's early admission.
From 9 to 10, you get your first pick of all the used CDs, the used LPs, music memorabilia. And so that's $5. But at 10 a.m., it's whatever you can afford to pay. All the money goes to benefit WHFR, by the way. It could be as little as a dollar or more. Susan Morrell is holding up a promo from the Dearborn Animal Shelter for their Burger Bash.
Bow Wow Burger Bash. Just since we did mention the Dearborn Animal Shelter earlier in the news, they're having their Bow Wow Burger Bash 2008, Sunday, July 27th, and from 2 until 7 p.m. at the Dearborn Tavern at 22145 Outer Drive at Pelham in Dearborn. Tickets are only $10. It includes beef burger, fries, coleslaw, beverage, and a veggie burger if you want it. If you need more information, call the Dearborn Animal Shelter, 313-943-2697, and the proceeds go to benefit the homeless animals at the Dearborn Animal Shelter. It's a great place.
I have to say, though, and they need the money, folks, and they do a great job in running the place on a shoestring, but it's an important shoestring. You know, you've got to have it, the essential funds, just like WHFR, but they do a great job with it. And so I wish them well with their Burger Bash. But I have to say, I've been becoming a little bit more of a vegetarian in the last few months.
Can get a veggie burger.
Oh, they have those?
Yeah, they're going to have a veggie burger.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it's been dawning on me. I keep looking at my cats, and of course, nobody eats cat food. Nobody eats cats in this country. but other countries, people do eat dog meat and so on. It's not, you know, against their culture to do that. And of course, if you're starving to death, folks. But I keep feeling that when I look at a hamburger, I keep seeing a real cow, a steer, you know, and even a hot dog. I keep visualizing this, and this is scary. This is, of course, ethical vegetarianism when you can't forget where the meat comes from. And, you know, are you willing to, you know, put the sledgehammer on their head to kill them, you know?
Well, when you put it that way, you know, it becomes not very appetizing.
No, it isn't. And so I'm glad they're going to have the veggie burgers there, because if you love animals, do you really want to continue eating them?
No.
You know? I mean,
no,
it's just
a
very interesting question. If you go to sites like, as we know, PETA.
Yeah, PETA.org.
PETA.org. It's not the bread PETA. Okay, it's PETA, but they always say PETA. That's how they pronounce it, because they don't know the bread where their headquarters are. They never saw a PETA bread, I guess. But we see it in Dearborn a lot.
It's P-E-T-A. PETA.org.
PETA.org. But they're for, you know, preventing animal cruelty, and it's a wonderful organization. But they advocate very strongly, you know, vegetarianism.
Yeah, and
because
I agree.
They make that connection. Totally. If you love animals, then why would you eat them? You know, and they even go so far as suggest you shouldn't eat fish or even dairy products, because most dairy products do come from animals that are sort of imprisoned in order to give their eggs or their milk, and it's well, it's not pleasant. So I just ruined your lunch, or if you just ate lunch, you're very guilty now with that burger in your
stomach. The burger, you know, it's just less appealing at this moment.
But help our animal friends however is appropriate for you, whether you're vegetarian or not,
or adopt a pet. Go over to the Dearborn Animal Shelter, adopt a pet, be a foster home, whatever you want.
Okay, we got just about 6 minutes to go here, and I got to get the story in because it's also in the Dearborn Times-Herald. in Wednesday edition at the bottom of the first page, Developing Dearborn, Fakhoury. Now, this is Hakeem Fakhoury, and we've mentioned his name before, and he's been in articles. He is a West Dearborn downtown developer. He's got several buildings in West Dearborn along Michigan Avenue. This is a statement from him here, and the reporter is J. Patrick Pepper from the Times-Herald. He said that developments there have hit a critical roadblock and things might be on hold indefinitely for him. Fakhoury said yesterday, and that would be Tuesday, I guess, if not Monday, depending on when they went to press with the story, he would have to stop making investments in his properties along Michigan Avenue unless there were sweeping changes made at City Hall. Some very significant indictments here. I mean, criticisms. Fakhoury was highly critical of three city departments instrumental in the progression of his developments: the Economic and Community Development, the legal department, and also the Building and Safety Department. Well, haven't we heard the Building and Safety Department talked about?
Yeah, but what does
before?
He say? What is okay. his criticism?
Personal agendas and selective code enforcement have made it impossible for him to complete his projects on schedule. His quote is, "Under the policies that are in place right now, I can't continue blowing money."
Well, that's a good term.
Very colorful, yes. I can't continue blowing money. He went on to say, quote, "We have personnel problems. We have attitude problems, and we can't expect to progress as a city if these things aren't addressed." When he says we, he means we in Dearborn, in City Hall. So he's not saying we as his own company. He said while he's remained committed to the projects he first proposed in the year 2005, the city has not lived up to its end of the bargain, he says, slapping him with false violations, giving him misinformation, and denying him things that were previously promised. In one case, Fakhoury said, construction on the Gateway Plaza at the corner, southwest corner of Michigan and Military was stopped by the city because a disgruntled contractor told the chief of staff, Mark Guido, chief of staff, the mayor, number one assistant to Mayor O'Reilly, Mark Guido, that Fakhoury was using inferior building materials. Fakhoury says city officials told him to stop work on the project until he could provide them with an engineering report, even though the plans already had been approved by the city. Between the time it took engineers to complete their report, find time to meet with the city, and wait for a response, the delay set him back 6 weeks and thousands of dollars in holding costs. A lawsuit stemming from that case will be ruled on soon. That Fakhoury started, I guess. And Fakhoury said he is confident he will win judgment against his former contractor.
Wow.
Yeah. And he says once the verdict's in, Fakhoury said he might go before the city council to request resignation of several city officials, specifically naming Guido and Building and Safety Director Dave Norwood.
When you say Guido, do you mean a relative of Mayor Guido?
I know he pronounced it in the way that Mayor Guido did have his family name normally pronounced before he got into politics. He was the mayoral assistant to Mayor Guido, and direct relation, I don't know.
Oh.
I really don't know now.
Probably.
I do know that there was a Guido on the Dearborn Board of Ed that had no relation to the mayor.
Well, it could be. There's
but
more
I
than
think,
one Guido.
I think Mike Guido was nephew, cousin, or something of the mayor, but I'm
okay.
Probably
this,
wrong.
This is an interesting story because,
yes.
Nobody likes to throw good money after bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're involved in major projects, it's
and
very
we don't
expensive.
We don't have the city's response to this. Yes, we do. I'm sorry. If you just read the story to the end, Koronik. Okay. Mayor John B. O'Reilly doesn't believe that their differences are irreconcilable. O'Reilly acknowledged that Fakhoury has raised some legitimate concerns with building and safety and said that those are being reviewed not only criminally by the FBI and police department, but also policy-wise internally.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He added that Fakhoury never has voiced any problems to him personally with the legal and the economic and community development departments, but that he would be willing to hear his complaints. And this is a direct quote from Mayor O'Reilly. We're going to finish this. While Hakeem and the city have certainly had our difficulties along the way, we still have a wonderful opportunity in front of us, said Mayor O'Reilly. Hakeem is an integral part in the revitalization of our city.
Well, the mayor is trying to settle it amicably, and who can blame him? But,
right.
Other people do sometimes interfere with things. That
city,
can happen.
Certain city council members, I remember, were doubtful about some of the things that Hakeem Fakhouri, Mr. Fakhouri, was promising since 2005. And some of the things that Mr. Fakhouri had said were essential. Like, I believe even at present, I don't know if this is his present opinion, but he said, we need a third parking tower. A third. And the two we have aren't even fully used. But he said, before I can put more money in, there's got to be a third tower. Whoa. And the city council said, that doesn't seem real.
Well,
so
no.
There have been disputes back and forth between the city and Mr. Fakhouri, and there has been some doubts that not that Mr. Fakhouri can do what he says, but that some of his statements are maybe exaggerated. And certainly the business situation since 2005 has changed radically. It's harder for him to get money. It's harder for it. There's fewer people buying things, you know, and that's the situation.
Okay.
So we've got to close up now, folks. Something to consider. We'll be back again next Friday with another edition live, we expect. We're live as we're recording this, but we're pre-recording it. And we will see you hopefully down at the Concert of Colors at the Maxim Fisher Center this weekend. So thank you, Susan Morrell, for sitting in with me today.
Thank you, Jay, for all your wonderful insights and analysis, as usual.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Goodbye for now. WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford Community College. Remember, let's keep stirring things up out there.
We're making waves.
We are.
The 16th Annual Concert of Colors will be held at the Maxim Fisher Music Center.